Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
We all know that feeling. You finally manage to get away on vacation and the worrying starts. Will that bogus beware of dogs sign keep your home safe? What about that fake camera you set up? And will someone finally find your old hide and key rock? That's where ADT comes in. All that stuff, it's safe-ish. It seems fine when you don't really think about it, but you know it truly doesn't work. Instead, ADT provides security solutions that keep you actually safe, giving you real peace of mind. Because vacation is supposed to be, you know, relaxing. Don't settle for safe-ish. Visit ADT.com today to learn more.
You're listening to continuing coverage in the Las Vegas Reporter murder trial of Robert Telles from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
The hearing is taking place outside the presence of the jury panel. Mr. Drasovich.
Your Honor, our final witness is Mr. Robert Telles. I've conferred with Rob Baer, and we're going to ask the court's permission to allow him to testify by narrative.
Okay, that is fine. Anything else before we bring the jury panel in?
Not on behalf of the state, Your Honor.
Okay, we can. Mr. Telles can take the stand.
Behind this.
All the exhibits?
Or
this is our copy. We have only.
Okay. Never mind.
State have.
As far as the exhibits go, I mean, if he needs to use the exhibits that we've admitted by stipulation, I don't have an objection to him using those exhibits. It seems like he may have notes though in front of him. Well, if he's using those notes, we're going to need it.
And just so the record's clear, Mr. Tuss, are you intending on referring to your notes in the course of your testimony?
Yes, I am.
Then I'm going to need a copy of this.
I'm providing the state a copy.
Oh, well, Mr. ready.
Does Mr. Drasovich have a copy of the defendant's exhibit list with him that I provided earlier?
Okay. Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, Mr. Telles, you have a copy of the exhibit list?
I've written those exhibit numbers next to my... Perfect. So I'm good on that, and I think as long as I can read my writing.
When he's ready for them, I will hold them.
And Your Honor, in order for this to proceed smoothly, when he refers to it, Mr. Telles refers to an exhibit, shall either myself or even...
All right, Mr. Henry, very good.
Okay, he told me.
Okay.
That she will make sure the record's clear.
Mm-hmm.
please proceed.
Does the state stipulate to the presence of the panel?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Draskovich?
Thank you.
Yeah, you'll stipulate?
We'll stipulate.
All right. And Mr. Draskovich, you're going to call Mr. Tellis?
Your Honor, the defense calls Mr. Robert Tellis.
Please raise your right hand. Do you do solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give in this action shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
You may be seated. Please state and spell your first and last name for the record.
Robert Theis. The first name is R-O-B-E-R-T. The last name is T-E-L-L-E-S.
Mr. Tellis, the state is going to allow you, or the court is going to allow you to testify by way of narration. So please tell us. Begin with your story, sir.
Thank you, sir. So first of all, and excuse me, I'm obviously a little nervous. This is it's a day I've been waiting for nearly 2 years. You know, this thing's been kind of a nightmare, frankly. And again, I want to thank you for being here. And right now, I want to say unequivocally, I'm innocent. I didn't kill Mr. Gurman. And I've got a lot to share with you all. There's been a lot of testimony. And my concern is making sure that you hear what I think about all these things and you know, what would, you know, the concerns that I have with some of these things that have been brought up. During my testimony, I'm going to be sharing opinions. I know that, you know, folks like Zach Schilling and Mr. Mogg shared their opinions with you. And these opinions were, you know, almost, I guess you could say, argumentative in a sense, right? Basically, Zach Schilling said, well, you know, I'm an expert on shoes, and, you know, I think that those shoes that the killer was wearing are the same ones that I've seen Mr. Chase wearing all the time, right? So he's arguing that he's an expert and you should believe him. And I think the same goes for Mr. Mogg. Right, so I think that when I share an opinion with you, someone might say it's argumentative, and when I say someone, I guess I specifically mean the state. But I think that when I share an opinion with you, that's my right, and it's your right to decide whether or not you agree with my opinion or not, whether you want to adopt my opinion or not. So I'm just hoping that, you know, I'm not stopped from sharing with you what I have to say. Right off the bat, I'll share an opinion with you. The medical examiner testified about how Mr. Gurman was murdered. And, you know, I had to see pictures of Mr. Gurman's body, you know, in preparation for the case. And it's obviously it's ugly. But when the medical examiner testified, that's the first time I'd learned how Mr. Gurman was murdered. Now, you know, I think it's the way that he was murdered speaks to, I think, something or someone who knows what they're doing. You know, the idea that Mr. Gurman's throat was slashed and his heart was stabbed. You know, I think that's, I mean, I don't know if anybody could just do that, right, without some kind of training, without some kind of expertise. So, I mean, and I'm personally not combat trained. I've, you know, and none of that. So it seems to me that when I heard that, I thought, you know, my God. You know, but so that's, I guess, one example of like the type of opinion I'll be sharing with you. And I want to also provide relevant facts, the truth, and, you know, things that I think are going to tend to disprove a lot of what has been said. And also when it comes to some of the witnesses, some of the documents that I'm going to try to get in are going to kind of go to, you know, whether or not they're being truthful. So again, I'm hoping that I'll be able to get those documents in too. I guess we'll see how that goes as well. First, I want to kind of go into my background a little bit. So out of high school, I got a job at a small computer store and, you know, building computers, that type of thing. And then I got an opportunity to work in IT, right? Information technology, working as a network technician. The dot-com crash occurred, and from there I ended up going into property management. And, you know, I enjoyed that. I became a leasing agent, then an assistant manager, then a manager. Then I took a strange turn and got into maintenance, you know, fixing stuff inside apartments, that type of thing. And from there, started to get involved in air conditioners. So then I became an HVAC technician, an air conditioning technician. And it was all, you know, self-study. All right. I took a course for the EPA certification, which is, you know, the license that requires you, that you're required in order to handle like refrigerant, like Freon, those types of things. I kind of learned like the basics of air conditioning on my own. And the only reason I say that is, you know, like going along is like I've kind of developed this analytical mind, right? That led to me becoming an attorney. And so then that even built more on that analytical mind, where I think about, you know, all the things wrong in this case. And you add to the, on top of that, the fact that I've been sitting in a cell for close to 2 years. So I've had a lot of time to think about a lot of these issues. So again, I think I'm gonna point out some strange things about this case. But anyway, going back to you know, my background. So became an HVAC technician. I started working at the College of Southern Nevada. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to name check the, I was gonna say local community college. Sorry, I'm very nervous, excuse me. So I started working at CSN, managing a team, and I was doing that by day, and I went to law school at night. They have a part-time program at Boyd School of Law, or they did then anyway, I don't know if they still have it, but I went through law school at night. But before I got into law school, I met my wife online. We started dating. I got into law school. We got married. We had our daughter together. So by this point, I had a stepson, I had my daughter from a previous marriage, and my wife and I had our daughter together. When I got out of law school, I opened my own probate firm, or my own law firm, and I focused on probate law. Now, you heard this term earlier from Detective Jappy, probate, and also, of course, a couple of other witnesses. And, you know, I do have a correction for, I guess, the way that Detective Jappy characterized probate law, but I'll get into that as we discuss further Compass Realty. I want to go from here, from my probate work, into how I became the public administrator. I was, a probate attorney, working cases for families, and John Cahill, the public administrator at the time, he saw me in court, and, you know, saw that I was, you know, kind of a new face, and so he started giving me a couple of cases here and there. He worked with various attorneys throughout town. So I started doing some work for him, and I can't remember exactly how long I've been working for him, you know, at least a few months, maybe 6 months. But I was part of this volunteer group. And we had these weekly meetings where we would bring people in to speak, right? And the group was very interested in learning about things happening in Vegas, right? So I thought, well, gosh, you know, getting the Clark County Public Administrator in to speak would be really great because nobody knows what this guy does. When you hear the title Clark County Public Administrator, a lot of people think that we're talking about the guy who runs the whole county or something, right? I mean, that's oftentimes when I was in the office, I had these emails from people telling me to fix this on that side of town or this, that, whatever issue, right? So it's the public administrator, it's the probate administrator for the county. And again, it's basically the office that safeguards property until family can step in. Because again, when the coroner got there, the coroner couldn't find the family. So it's our job to do the safeguarding. And if for some reason the family can't or does not want to do the administration, our office takes over and does that administration. So, you know, I got in there, hit the ground running, we're working. I find out at a certain point as I'm going to court that there's a situation with some of these private administrators. Now, A private administrator is, when we talk about them, is anybody who is handling administrations, or really, I'd say private corporate administrators, because any family member could be a private administrator, right? The probate commissioner, who is basically an appointee of the probate judges, he had these concerns with some of these folks. And I was in a hearing one day where he asked me to take a look at a case. And, you know, the attorney for one of these guys or one of these firms was there, and, you know, we were talking. And, you know, he told me that, well, that his client had been doing these things for so much time, and that the prior public administrator didn't have a concern with it. And I asked him, you know, well, where are the, this is the first I'm hearing about this, you know. He said, well, we've been mailing your office notices every time that we come to court. And so just FYI, the fact that these folks were required to send me notices was ordered by the probate commissioner because he was very troubled by what he saw going on with this firm. And so I told him, no, I've been at this for maybe 7-8 months, and this is the first time hearing of it. He said, oh, no, I promise we're sending you every notice. So I get to the office, and I find out that, you know, at the direction of the prior public administrator, the office had been throwing away all of those documents, and they just basically continued on with that process of just throwing the documents away. And I told my staff, you know, we're not doing that anymore. I need to look at these. I need to see why the probate commissioner was so concerned. So I did an analysis, and I found that there were some troubling concerns. I created a spreadsheet, and, you know, I guess at this point, I want to see if I could share X2. If you need me to build any foundation, I can do that.
Just approach on this.
Okay. Is it admitted or?
There's a built-in seat.
Okay. So then.
But I assume you're going to lay some foundation.
Yeah, of course, absolutely, Your Honor. And again, this goes to the theory of my case, right? You know, somebody framed me for this, and I believe that it's compus reality, and I believe that it's for the work that I've done against them. And this document here shows the start of the work that I began against them. You're going to hear much more about the things that I did and the things that they did. And so, again, this spreadsheet, I think really, it's the beginning. And so I'd ask if I could please have it admitted.
X2 is being proposed. Is there any further objection?
I'll stand by my prior argument.
Okay. It's admitted.
Okay. So when you view this exhibit, X2, you'll see that there's a spreadsheet attached to it. And I just want to go over a few of the cases with you. And, well, generally, first I'll tell you that, you know, again, it was about 60 cases. And let's see here. And there was, for about 60 cases, there's about a $6 million difference between, and this is total, this is not each, but, you know, obviously, for those cases, there's about a $6 million total between the time that the estate sold the property to the time that the person who purchased it sold it to another person, right? And so that's quite a bit of money for that. I'll say that originally, the estates in total sold the properties for $8.5 million. And later, the people who sold it after, they sold it for about $14.5 million, right? So when you're talking about $8.5 million and then making $6 million, I mean, it's nearly double, right, from one sale to the next sale. And if you look at some of the homes on here, you'll see, for example, there's this one, Prince, Bobby. So the deceased's name is Bobby Prince. The estate sold the home on December 31st of 2018 for $232,000. And the next sale was done the same day. So the person who bought it resold it the same day for $50,000 more. Now, as administrators have a fiduciary duty to get the maximum value that they can for the estate. When I see a situation, and again, this is the most extreme one. I mean, I'm not saying that all of them are like this, but you know, all of them are, there's a significant difference between the one price and the other price. This is just the most extreme one is, you know, for someone to be able to resell a property the same day for $50,000 more, it's just not right. And again, you'll see that, again, anywhere from 30 to 50% between the two sales when you review this exhibit. This floored me, right, to see that this is going on. And immediately, you know, all I knew was that there was something funny going on here. And what troubled me too is that the prior public administrator said, I'm not going to deal with it. I'm not going to do anything about it. Throw them in the trash. And I think that disturbs me because that's really the role of the Clark County Public Administrator, right? I think Compass Realty has made this argument that, oh, you know, that's not the jurisdiction of the public administrator. But if you think about it, you know, whether we are trying to secure property so someone can't jump through the window and steal everything in the house, or we're trying to stop somebody from stealing equity, I believe it's the same thing. And so that's, you know, I absolutely disagree with John Cahill. So we've got a duty to protect these estates, right? Whether it's, again, stopping criminals from getting into the houses and stealing stuff, or unscrupulous real estate agents from trying to work the system. So I started to object to all of these petitions. And as I told you before, it was the probate commissioner who told me, look, I need to start looking at this. This doesn't seem right. And I asked him, I said, well, why can't you stop these? You know, I mean, not that I was saying, like, I don't want to do it, but out of curiosity, why can't you? And he told me that the law, and so I'll tell you right now that, sorry, just coming backwards just a bit, this, because I think it's now is a good time to talk about this independent administration. So independent administration is not a generally used form of probate. It's, you know, rarely used. What independent administration allows somebody to do is to sell houses without going through the regular court process. You basically circumvent the whole process. And so the reason that I didn't, you know, really look into it is I never had a need to use it. Because normally during the probate process, when somebody's selling a house, you've got to ask the court for permission. You give everybody notice. And you allow, when you do this, for the estate to get the best value. Because what happens is all of these folks out there who are interested in buying and flipping properties, whatever, they scour all of these listings. So if you ever go to probate court on a Friday, you'll see that, you know, their real estate investors just all over the place, right? But so by publishing it, you ensure that you're going to get the best value possible. These people are watching and they say, oh, you know what? Maybe there's an extra $20,000 I can squeeze out of that. I'm going to get in there and I'm going to go after it, right? And so like I said, it's really, it's good for the families, so, and it's transparent. So when somebody uses this Independent Administration Act, and they're a corporate probate administrator, that's concerning. Because basically what they're trying to say is, well, I want to sell this property out of this estate, but I don't want it to go through the regular process. I want to be able to sell it to this guy at this price, and that's it. And when they would use this type of law, the law says that if nobody objects, then the probate commissioner has to grant the petition. Right, so his hands were tied. So one of the things I did do later was I actually went to the legislature and raised my concerns. And you know, there are folks in the legislature that agreed. And so we were able to change the laws so that I had greater watchdog capabilities in these situations, which I think only made this situation more dire for certain folks. And again, I'll get further into that. But so, you know, I began to go ahead and file objections to these petitions. And the probate commissioner pretty much granted my objections just about every time. Because in the regular law, you know, again, not independent administration, just generally, the public administrator has higher priority than all other people, except for family, right? And we would never step in the way of family. Family member wants to handle the estate, great. If we're in the middle of getting ready to handle a probate estate, and I'm sorry, you know, I know I'm talking as though I'm still there, but I think for the purposes of what I'm sharing with you, I'm just going to continue to do that. You know, we would say, okay, you know what, great. You know, maybe we have this fee or that fee that you got to pay. Could be a couple $100, but you know, we don't want to, you know, we're not here to take away anything from you. Happy to transfer it, right? And we got to, per the county's codes, or you know, we've got to charge the fee, right? It's not something we just say, well, you know, we're going to waive it and you can go. But like I said, it was never any like real burden to pay the $150 to take over, especially when they're done liquidating, they're looking at thousands of dollars in, you know, in the family's pocket. But again, it's their money, right? But when it came to, again, third-party administrators, if I saw that there was something strange going on, I stepped in. Now, if there's a third-party administrator who was, when I reviewed the petition, appeared to be above board, wasn't doing anything fishy, I didn't get involved, right? If they were utilizing the regular court process, they weren't, again, trying to hide anything, then great, you know, more power to you. But the one company that was doing this over and over again, more than anybody else, was Compass Realty, and they were doing it through Thomas Moore. And so anytime one of Thomas Moore's petitions came through, the probate commissioner said, you've got to give it to the public administrator's office. And that's where that whole thing started way back, right? So as they were, you know, as I was going at this and filing objections, they started to fight back in various ways. First, they started to threaten to sue me. They said, well, you know, you're messing with our business. Right, and I wasn't afraid of them because, you know, what they were doing was not right. They started making complaints to my assistant county manager, or you know, county management, trying to get my assistant county manager to stop me. And, you know, we had meetings, he and I said, you know what, this is not okay. I can't agree to that. No, you know, so. Despite their complaints over and over again to county, my county manager said, you know what, I can't do anything, he's the guy in charge, you know, sorry. Then they started filing these false claims about me in court pleadings, saying that, you know, I was trying to steal their business, that I was trying to steal it for myself. Now, at the time I was a salaried employee. You know, like some of the smaller counties, they have a setup where the public administrators, all they earn is a commission based on the estates they put through the process. Okay, but not so with Clark County. With Clark County, you get a paycheck and that's it. So I never received a commission off of any of the states that we administered, ever. So to say that, you know, I was trying to do this to get something out of it was just false. Again, just trying to sling mud to see if they couldn't scare me off or do it. I don't know. Then in early 2022, about March of 2022, I approached Steve Wolfson. Now, he and I and other elected department heads, we would have regular meetings and we would coordinate and, you know, elections were around the corner, so we started talking about, you know, what ideas do you have? What ideas do you have? That type of thing, right? And during one of our meetings, I had mentioned that, you know, I had this concern with this company. About a year before, I had raised the issue with the Attorney General's office, and apparently they didn't see where the wrong was. But, you know, the weird thing about that was that they took less than a month for the investigation. And so I don't know if the Attorney General thought, well, we don't get it, we don't see how this is crime or what, but I think about a month later, Compass Realty had a letter in hand saying that they didn't see any wrongdoing. To me, that was just weird. And again, I will get into why this is not just about mail. I think Detective Jaffe said, oh, this is about mailings. No, it's way worse than that, in my opinion. So I told Mr. Wolfson about the situation. You know, he's got these guys who are, again, from one sale to the next. I mean, we're looking at anywhere, again, close to the, you know, 50%. You know, and he's like, well, you know, okay. Like, and I asked him, well, can you do an investigation? He said, well, that's not our department. I mean, we don't do investigations. Because, you know, I thought, well, the AG does investigations. Maybe the DA does too. He said, no, we don't do that, but I know someone who can help you. There's this guy I know in public corruption, Derek Jett, and I'll put you in touch with him. Mr. Jappy, I don't know if it was a day or two later, calls me. We discuss the case on the phone. We set up a meeting. I go down there with a package with all of my materials. And I actually included a letter to him with that. A letter to him that kind of highlighted some of the concerns. And so I'd like to share J1. So it was a letter to Detective Jaffe.
J1 has been admitted.
Thank you. And so one of the things that I had noted in this letter, and again, it's a four-page letter, like I said, getting into detail about what had been going on and what, you know, I guess you'll see it. But one of the issues I noted was this estate of James Clark. And I noted that in this case, we found that Thomas Moore had removed everything from the kitchen before any sale of the home. Removing the kitchen, and of course, this also involved the flooring, but it didn't say that here, but removing the kitchen before the sale would devalue the property in a way that would allow Moore to get a lower appraisal value before making the sale. There are photos that we took on 5/1/2019 showing that the kitchen was in place at the time that the decedent died. So what had happened was that we had taken over because family wasn't found. Family came in, they took over, but apparently something happened where they couldn't administer it, and in the meantime, Thomas Moore stepped in. So we came into the picture, got out of the picture, family stepped in, then Thomas Moore stepped in, because I think a notice of default was filed with the recorder's office, because the mortgage had gone into arrears. And so maybe I'll explain that just a little bit. So when somebody dies, oftentimes, the way that these private administrators get word. I mean, I think these guys have a different method, but a lot of the ways that, one of the ways that they typically do is they watch for these public notices that the homes have gone into default. Because the mortgages have lapsed, like somebody stopped paying the mortgage, right? And so now at this point, the mortgage company is getting ready to do a foreclosure, right? So they do this, thank you, sir. Oh, sorry. They do this notice of intent to default, right? And this is the signal to some of these folks, okay, well, I should go check this out and see why this is a default. Maybe I'll go knock on the door and see if anybody's home. Look through the window, see if, you know, if it looks like it's lived in. Then they might do more research and try to find out who it was that was there and whether they died or not. Right? So then based on that, they'll file a petition in court to take over, to get this administration so they could sell the real property. So when they had taken control of this property, from that point to the point that family notified us again that, you know, this estate had been taken from them, we stepped in. I filed an objection. We got into the house and found out that Thomas Moore had ripped out the flooring in the kitchen before a sale that he was preparing for. And so that was in this first note to Detective Jappe. Early on, this was March 6th of 2022, that I raised that particular concern with Detective Jappe. But so about 2 weeks later, Detective Jappe told me, hey, you know what? Excuse me. Well, I learned from Detective Jappe that they discovered that Compass Realty or Thomas Moore, they were not reporting on the closing documents for the estates, any personal property at all. So, you know, when somebody dies and they have a house, you've got stuff in the house, right? Given that Vegas is a commuter city, most people have a car, right? At least one car. So, you know, for someone to die with a house, but zero property of any value inside the house or any car, Detective Jappe thought that was really odd. He's like, no, there's something wrong here. So it is my understanding that they were going to go ahead and do stakeouts. Now, I don't know if this was supposed to be with some type of static car that just sits there empty with a video camera, but basically, my understanding was they were going to do observation on some of these homes when they still had property inside them, vehicles in front of them, and see what exactly happened with all that stuff. Because again, if you've got a house that's worth $500,000, you should probably have property inside the house that's kind of commensurate with that, right? You might have $5,000, $10,000 worth of property that can be sold. For the public administrator's office, oftentimes there was personal property to be sold, recovered and sold in apartments, right? I mean, there's very, very often stuff that's worth at least $3,000-$4,000. Right? And it's the probate administrator's duty, whether you're the public administrator or a private administrator, to ensure that those items are sold and the benefit is provided to the estate, right? So when, these guys have done hundreds of estates and no personal property has been reported and no vehicles have been reported, it seemed that was a concern for Mr. Jappe. But after that, I really didn't hear much more. And I understand that he said that he and I were buddies and we talked often, but that wasn't the case. That was kind of strange. I never considered him like a friend per se. Not that I'm, trying to say anything about that, but for him to say that he thought we were good friends, I couldn't understand how you'd characterize it that way. I guess when he was claiming that, we'll get to the ambulance situation later. But so he said, again, that we're going to do these stings and then we're going to do title research, and again, still, I didn't hear anything about the concerns with the James Clark situation, or even the Recep Abdul situation, and then I'll get into that situation here in a little bit. But you know, that same month, Rita Reed, you know, my assistant public administrator, who's now the current public administrator, she filed for the position, and also a Compass Realty realtor filed to run for the position as well. Again, to this point, Compass Realty seems like doing everything they could to try to stop me, even running one of their own employees to try to take the seat from me. It was in the end of April. At the end of April, I'm not sure how the conversation went or how this interaction went between Rita Reed and one of the folks from Compass Realty, but Rita Reed, for her campaign, received $10,000. $10,000 from, excuse me, $5,000 from Adam Fenn and $5,000 from Compass Realty. And I would like to, if I could, share L1.
Are you offering it?
Yes, please.
Okay, L1 is admitted.
Thank you. The document here again is Rita Reed's campaign contribution report from the Nevada Secretary of State. And I'm turning to... you know what? I think we might have to admit a different exhibit for another day. My apologies, but this is report number one, and the contributions from Compass Realty and Adam Fenn are on report number two. So my apologies.
That's just not the document you want.
That's correct. So if you would note that we're going to be looking at, when I bring that back tomorrow, we'll be looking at report number two that has those contributions. I end up, I guess after this happens, about 2 weeks later, Mr. Gurman's article, his first article comes out. We had those text messages from me from the day that I saw the article where I was upset. And I think, anybody who's the subject of an article that says certain things about you, I mean, could reasonably feel upset about it, right? I'll note that later, as we go through my tweets, you'll see that, that same demeanor from that day is not exhibited in any of my tweets later. And again, we'll go over that later. But, so the articles come out and all that, and Rita Reed, and I'll show you in the campaign report, or you'll be able to review the campaign report, she didn't get too many contributions other than this $10,000 from Adam Fenn and Compass Realty. She ended up running two different text message campaigns, publicizing to voters the articles, right? And that cost about, I think, $9,000 or so. That'll be on later campaign reports how much was spent. So you'll see that this $10,000 that was given by Compass Realty and Adam Fenn went directly to this text message campaign. And I lost the primary. It was a bummer. It was unfortunate. But I continued the fight against Compass Realty, and I think that that's something that they didn't expect. Right? And I did it just because I thought it was the right thing to do. Right? I could have just gone home and put up my feet and done no work at all anymore. But I continued that particular battle. I had nothing to gain from it because, in 7 months I was out anyway, right? So there was nothing for me to gain other than just doing what I, doing the job, right? As I'd mentioned earlier, there's estate of Recep Abdul, where we got some headway on something. I had been discussing with one of the heirs what Compass Realty was doing in that case. And so we were, you know, she was concerned, and she asked us to intervene. So I filed a petition, and we had a hearing, I believe it was on June 29th of 2022. And I'd like to see if we could play the hearing video from that hearing. And this is
Maybe approach on this one.
Sure. District attorney wants an opportunity to review it, and so I'm going to reserve on that. And you can probably talk about it maybe tomorrow morning.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor. I was really, I'd like to have the jury see that video. I guess, I'd like to go ahead and then, if I may, share the Recep Abdul inventory. And that is, excuse me, M1, sorry. And this document is an inventory filed in the estate of Recep Abdul, for which I filed an objection. Is that on the Elmo, or is that?
This right now has been admitted.
Okay. So is it possible to put it?
Can
we put it on the Elmo?
Court permission after he explains it, I went to put it on the Elmo.
Sure. Okay. No problem.
So, yes. Again, this is a. So, basically, when somebody's doing a probate case, by the end of the case, they've got to report everything that was found on the date of death of the person. You know, if they have a house, they put that, you know, they put the house on the appraisal, on the inventory, and they attach an appraisal for the house. Vehicles, they'll list vehicles, bank accounts. If there's personal property and they have appraised the property, that'll be listed on the inventory. So, I have here the inventory that was filed by Cynthia Sauerland, who was the probate administrator for this case, who ended up taking over for Thomas Moore. So he had been the administrator for them for some time, and then she stepped in and continued their practices for them. As it turns out, she was also a real estate agent for them, whereas I don't think Thomas Moore was both an agent and the administrator. But there's the appraisal attached to this was something that was of concern to the heirs and that I found concerning as well. Mr. Eskowich, do you mind?
Is there a particular page?
And unfortunately, they on the appraisal, they didn't mark the pages, but I guess, you know, you can see, I don't know why the appraiser didn't actually do page numbers on his appraisal, but it would be certainly this page. I'd like to show that. And that, and then the following page.
Okay, so I'll show these two pages.
Yes, sir, please, thank you. Yes, sir.
Just want you to flip it over.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And so when you do an inventory, it's supposed to be the state of. Yes, sir.
See that? Okay.
It's supposed to be the state of the home when the on the date of the person's death. So when you see here, the appraisal that they've got for their inventory shows that it shows a kitchen that has no cabinets, no. I mean, I hope you can see that. If not, certainly when we review the exhibit later, you'll see there are no cabinets, no sink. No counter. It's the bare walls in the kitchen. And the floor is missing. So, and you'll see in the bottom left-hand corner, same thing. The picture's not great, but you'll see the floor is missing there too. And sir, may we go to the next page? And in the hallway, missing flooring. In the bedroom, missing flooring. And so it costs money to do this process, right? To rip these things out. So it's interesting that, I'm not providing that document for you, so the fact that they didn't show that they paid for these services to me seems strange. But this is apparently what they were claiming as to how they found the home. And you'll, thank you, sir, very much. Thank you. And you'll find that, again, like I said before, James Clark was in a similar condition. So, and later, after this property, later when this property was resold, it was sold by the, like I said, I'm a little nervous, but if you look at that appraisal, you'll see that the appraiser said that he believed that it would take about $20,000 in repair costs to bring the home up to fair market value. It was about 3 months later that the buyer resold the home for $70,000. So as far as I'm concerned, that extra $50,000 should have gone to the family, not to these other guys. And so right there, I thought, when somebody is ripping property out of a house to sell it to another individual with whom they've had these purchases or these transactions over and over again, that should be looked into seriously, because to me, I believe that's theft, right? I mean, it makes no sense otherwise. So, an interesting thing. I wrote Jappy an email after the hearing that we had, and I really want you guys to see, want you folks to see the hearing, because I think it certainly put Compass Realty on notice, and the judge was very concerned, and so you'll see that tomorrow, I hope. I ended up, it was that same day, I believe, writing Detective Jappy an email saying that we went to court and there were these issues with this house as well, just like with James Clark. I don't know that I said that as like James Clark, but I certainly noticed those issues. May I share V2? This is an email from me to Detective Jappy. I can't recall the date, but it was in regard to the estate of Recep Abdul.
I'll approach you with this.
It's been admitted. V2 is admitted.
Thank you. And so this is actually to Derek Jappy and one of the other folks that was on his detail. Hello, gentlemen. I'm not sure if you all had a chance to catch the hearing. I will get the video for you. Also, I'm not sure if you had a chance to view the response. It had an appraisal with the kitchen torn out. Today, Deborah Erbach testified the photos of the house and the appraisal were not representative of how she had left the house. She had cleaned the house before she had returned home. The kitchen was intact when she left the home. It seems that the kitchen in this case is also potentially ripped out to reduce the value of the real property before the appraisal. So Detective Jappy was on notice of this concern as well, But and so despite all that, Detective Jappy, I'll tell you that during the course of this case, you probably were aware that you may be aware that I was representing myself, and I was fighting for certain evidence. And I requested the case file for the case that Detective Jappy had built against me. When they gave me that case file, they also gave me the case file against Compass Realty as well. And so I was able to observe what was done in the investigation. So despite the fact that Detective Jaffe had said that there would be these stakeouts, there were no stakeouts. There were no vehicle title searches to see what was going on with these vehicles. Despite the fact that I had raised concerns about what we found in the appraisals, at least the one appraisal, Detective Jaffe didn't seek appraisals from any of the other cases. Right, so it seemed odd to me that he would get up here and say that this was all about mail. Right, he said, "Oh, well, this is just
objection in this case of the testimony."
I guess I can't recall what to my knowledge, the issue that was raised according to Detective Jaffe was that this is about certified mailing. I can't recall what the other issue was. So, but I guess you can go back to your notes and see what Detective Jaffe said to you what this was about, because that's. In my opinion, that's clearly not what this was about.
Objection.
This is my opinion. Okay. So personally, I believe it's likely that, based on what I'm going to discuss later about what Detective Jeffy did, I believe there's some type of compensation to him for all this.
Objection.
So. I'm a witness.
Just ask you to move on.
Sure, absolutely. And again, like I said before, I can have my opinions, right? And it's up to you to decide. I'm not the lawyer up here.
I ask you to limit your testimony to your personal knowledge and the facts, because your opinions are not really relevant. And so I would ask you your personal knowledge and things that you observe. And any inferences and arguments that can be made, your attorneys will be able to make those at the end.
And if Your Honor, if you don't mind, for clarification's sake, again, when Zach Schilling was giving his opinion about circumstances.
But if you want to have a hearing at the end of the day, that's fine too. But again, I would just ask that you limit it to the facts and your personal knowledge and any of your observations.
Okay. So if I have a particular opinion on some of the testimony, can I share that?
Your opinions are not relevant at this time, so again, I would ask you to limit your testimony to facts and observations that you made.
And then according to the judge's counsel, those are matters that can be argued in closing.
Okay. So, the attorney for Compass Realty began to stonewall me. After the hearing, because what happened during the hearing is that I was granted this authority to engage in investigations against them. The judge, you'll see what the judge decided about the situation. I think that they had a lot to worry about. And that was June 29th that hearing occurred. So, but after that hearing, there still has to be a paper order that is filed in order to grant the power that was actually given during the hearing, right? So you got to have that written order in hand in order to act. I had to basically, as part of the process, you have to send the order to the other attorney, and you all have to try to agree to the terms of the order, and both sides sign it if they agree upon it. The attorney for Compass Realty just would not, and things got delayed, and then finally, the order got filed. It was on, I believe, August 29th. My apologies, but I do have the order that I drafted. In the estate of Rajab Abdul, that I'd like to share is N1.
N as in Nancy.
That's great.
Court's
indulgence. Thank you. My apologies. It was actually filed on August 31st, 2022. And as you all know, Mr. Gurman was murdered on September 2nd, 2022. But I guess going, well, I also want to mention at the same time that I was fighting Compass Realty in probate court and also beyond trying to work with Detective Jappe on that criminal investigation. I had also filed a complaint with the Nevada Real Estate Division as well. And I'd raised the issues that, you know, I've discussed already. And also I raised issues about some of the other like codes related to real estate that were being broken because Compass Realty was selling properties to Adam Fenn, one of their own agents, using the same, it appears, using the same scheme. And when Mr. Gurman was murdered, a couple of things happened. One, the new public administrator did not finish acting on any of the investigation in Recep Abdul. There's been no activity. So any of the investigating that I was going to do is not being done at this point. And the complaint I made with the Nevada Real Estate Division, I got documentation that it closed in November of 2022. And so, you know, I believe that this was, I mean, it'd be quite a coincidence if, you know, the fact that Mr. Gurman was killed and was put on me, that they just had a serendipitous benefit from that, that all these things that were coming to a head for them, just, it's done. No repercussions, no nothing. So, you know, that's, I'll leave it to you, you know, to think about that. And then in early August, and you heard Detective Jappe saying in early August that Rita Reed and Alicia Goodwin approached him. And that, you know, after they approached him, that Kimberly McMahon approached him. And you heard that Kimberly McMahon was somebody who worked as a real estate agent for me at the public administrator's office. And she, again, was a lieutenant at Metro. And that she had raised these allegations of a bribery scheme. And, you know, I can't recall the date. I think it was August 7th or so. But I'm going to get that information for you here soon. But later, it was August 17th, that Detective Jappe had an interview with Kimberly McMahon at, I guess, the Department of Homeland Security, I believe. And the statement from that is, one, I don't know if we want to do two I got one document coming right after the other. I don't know. I'd like to try to also, because I would like to show you that, you know, the facts that are embedded within Detective Jappe's, or I should say the probable cause statements embedded within his statement that don't match up to the statement from her interview. And that's what I would like to share with you. So we'll see if I can get that done. I believe it's 01 and the search one, I believe, yeah, I'm working with a grease pen. The writing's kind of thick. I don't know if it's S1. I'm so sorry. Thank you. No, I'm sorry. It was the search warrant that Detective Jappe had done. Yeah, my apologies. Yeah, because unfortunately the it could be
is it either P2 or Q2 application affidavit for search warrant?
If it's by Derek Jappe, yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
raw courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed is coming up from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss a minute.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
We all know that feeling. You finally manage to get away on vacation and the worrying starts. Will that bogus beware of dogs sign keep your home safe? What about that fake camera you set up? And will someone finally find your old hide and key rock? That's where ADT comes in. All that stuff, it's safe-ish. It seems fine when you don't really think about it, but you know it truly doesn't work. Instead, ADT provides security solutions that keep you actually safe, giving you real peace of mind. Because vacation is supposed to be, you know, relaxing. Don't settle for safe-ish. Visit ADT.com today to learn more.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
We all know that feeling. You finally manage to get away on vacation and the worrying starts. Will that bogus beware of dogs sign keep your home safe? What about that fake camera you set up? And will someone finally find your old hide and key rock? That's where ADT comes in. All that stuff, it's safe-ish. It seems fine when you don't really think about it, but you know it truly doesn't work. Instead, ADT provides security solutions that keep you actually safe, giving you real peace of mind. Because vacation is supposed to be, you know, relaxing. Don't settle for safe-ish. Visit ADT.com today to learn more.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
We all know that feeling. You finally manage to get away on vacation and the worrying starts. Will that bogus beware of dogs sign keep your home safe? What about that fake camera you set up? And will someone finally find your old hide and key rock? That's where ADT comes in. All that stuff, it's safe-ish. It seems fine when you don't really think about it, but you know it truly doesn't work. Instead, ADT provides security solutions that keep you actually safe, giving you real peace of mind. Because vacation is supposed to be, you know, relaxing. Don't settle for safe-ish. Visit ADT.com today to learn more.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
We all know that feeling. You finally manage to get away on vacation and the worrying starts. Will that bogus beware of dogs sign keep your home safe? What about that fake camera you set up? And will someone finally find your old hide and key rock? That's where ADT comes in. All that stuff, it's safe-ish. It seems fine when you don't really think about it, but you know it truly doesn't work. Instead, ADT provides security solutions that keep you actually safe, giving you real peace of mind. Because vacation is supposed to be, you know, relaxing. Don't settle for safe-ish. Visit ADT.com today to learn more.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
We all know that feeling. You finally manage to get away on vacation and the worrying starts. Will that bogus beware of dogs sign keep your home safe? What about that fake camera you set up? And will someone finally find your old hide and key rock? That's where ADT comes in. All that stuff, it's safe-ish. It seems fine when you don't really think about it, but you know it truly doesn't work. Instead, ADT provides security solutions that keep you actually safe, giving you real peace of mind. Because vacation is supposed to be, you know, relaxing. Don't settle for safe-ish. Visit ADT.com today to learn more.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
We all know that feeling. You finally manage to get away on vacation and the worrying starts. Will that bogus beware of dogs sign keep your home safe? What about that fake camera you set up? And will someone finally find your old hide and key rock? That's where ADT comes in. All that stuff, it's safe-ish. It seems fine when you don't really think about it, but you know it truly doesn't work. Instead, ADT provides security solutions that keep you actually safe, giving you real peace of mind. Because vacation is supposed to be, you know, relaxing. Don't settle for safe-ish. Visit ADT.com today to learn more.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.